With that in mind, once again, we are so excited to have our guests, Evangelist Roger Smets and his wife Gwen, are here. And just before they come, let me just say we are welcoming them back because it's been 2 years since they have been here to Hope Chapel. If you are unfamiliar with their ministry, as you may have already detected, Evangelist Roger Smets brings the word, and then God has blessed him with memory of a lot of scriptures, and then he prophesies those scriptures over people. It's a wonderful thing. I always enjoy how that, in like-mindedness, our friendship as well has endured for years, and I like it when we are able to bring people here to Hope Chapel that are just, let's just say it this way, they're not a replica of Paul Harmon. Isn't that great? I'm so glad. Life is boring that way, but we have a common denominator. We all love Jesus, and that's what really brings us together. And because of this man and his wife's faithfulness to serve the Four Square Movement for well over 45 years, that in itself, that ability to persevere and to endure, just doing life in general and ministry abroad, that's an amazing thing. So we're excited. I think he's going to get it right today. How many know that? Out of 45 years, today's the day. Would you welcome to Hope Chapel once again, Evangelist Roger Smets. Roger, come on. We're so excited to have you.
Well, bless the Lord. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. That's where we are today. We're here to hear and receive the word of God. As Pastor Paul mentioned, I am and have been now a full-time itinerant Foursquare evangelist. And that word evangelist means or a bearer of good news. I've come to give you a good word, a word that will lift, a word that will encourage you, a word that will refresh your hearts, a word that will help you to know that living for Jesus is still the best available life on planet Earth today. Yes. Somebody say yes. Yes. Yes, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And we are grateful to come to Hope Chapel today. On many occasions we have served and ministered the word of the Lord in this place, and we believe that God has a word for you, a word that will lift, encourage you and enable you to press on. Some of you are here today and you're facing crisis times and you need a word from the Lord. I'm going to be talking today about obstacles to overcome or overcoming obstacles. How many know that often there's always an obstacle that stands between you and what God wants to do in you? There's always an obstacle that seems to be present between us and something that would inhibit the flow of God's power in us. And so that's what we want to address today. I'm going to be talking about overcoming the obstacles of intimidation and also the obstacles of inadequacy. And I'll also talk today about the obstacle of common sense. Because I believe that it takes not just a preacher to speak and a listener to hear, but it takes the moving of the Holy Spirit to give that life, to birth that thing in you. And I want you to know that I've come today not just to be an orator of what the Bible says. I've come to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, impart this word to you so that you will embrace it, so that long after I'm not here, you will remember the word of the Lord that was spoken into the house of the Lord. There's a passage of scripture in John 14 and 26, just before Jesus ascended to the Father. He said, the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things, and he shall bring to your remembrance those things that I have spoken to you of. And my prayer is that God would help us to bring to remembrance the things the Lord has spoken. So when the enemy comes against us, right away, there would be a word from Jesus, amen, to stand against the works and the words of the enemy. And so, first of all, the obstacle of inadequacy today. Inadequacy. What does that mean? Well, Mary is probably our best example of the obstacles of inadequacy because we all know the story, the Christmas story, that Mary heard the angel speak, and the angel spoke unto her and said, get ready, Mary. You're going to conceive. You're going to bring forth a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall become the Alpha and the Omega. Powerful promise. And you talk about getting a word from the Lord. She got a mouthful, amen. But guess what? The moment she had that promise imparted to her, immediately she had a problem with the promise. How many of you ever had a problem with a promise from God? Well, Mary had a big problem because she knew that it takes more than just a woman to bring forth a life, that she would need a man. And she said, I have not a man. I don't have what it takes. I don't have what is required. I am inadequate to receive the impartation of the Christ child. I just can't do it. I don't have what it takes. How many times does the devil say that to you? You don't have what it takes. You can't be what God wants you to be. You are not able to measure up to what God wants to do in your life. Hello? You ever heard that from the enemy? And that's how Mary felt. And so she said it in verse 34. And in that passage of scripture of verse 34, where it says that the angel, after the angel spoke, Mary said, how shall these things be? How shall these things be? And right away, the angel spoke that. And then what happened? Mary then said, as she came before the Lord, she said, Lord, how shall this be? How shall this be? And the angel then spoke and said, oh, Mary, don't you worry about that. We got that all covered, you'll see. For the power of the highest shall overshadow you, and the power of the mighty one will come upon you, and therefore that holy thing that should become of you should become of God. Big response. Sure. How's it going to happen? Did that answer her question? Did she think after the angel spoke a second time, do you think she said, oh, yeah, now I get it. That makes sense. Nope. No, it didn't make sense. But something happened in that passage in Luke. Something happened between verse 34 and 38, where the Bible then says, and Mary spoke it. She obviously came to a place of realizing that she wasn't going to get a straight answer. And so the scripture says in verse 38, she surrendered. And she said, okay, Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. Many theologians believe that the moment she made that declaration, the moment she spoke it, at that very moment is when she conceived of the Christ child. Why do we believe that? Because if you read the text, it says after the angel spoke, it says the angel then departed. Why? Mission accomplished. The angel went on to be with the Father. Amen. Mission accomplished. And so she came to that place of surrender. People often ask me as I travel and minister throughout the church and the nation, some have often said to me, Roger, what do you think is the key word that God has given to the church at this hour? What is the word that you're hearing God speak to the body of Christ at such a time as this? And when somebody asks me that question, my answer is ready and my answer is sure. I have come to the place of understanding and believing that the key word for the church at this hour is surrender. God wants us to surrender to the will of God, to the ways of God, and most of all, to the word of God. He wants us to surrender. That means releasing yourself from having to know how and why from God. Some people say, well, you know what? If God could just explain to me why I'm going through what I'm going through, then I think I could make it. Have you ever prayed that prayer? If you have, be careful. It's a dangerous prayer. Why? Because God never promised to explain anything to you. But what he did promise, Romans 8 and 28, that all things would go together for good to them that love God. What he did promise is 1 John 4 and 4, that greater is he that's in you than he who is in the world. And what he did promise, Romans 8 and 37, that you are right now, not next week, not next month, not next year, you are right now more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the Lord is showing us that we have become the handiwork of God. God is at work in us, and we are those ones who have been declared able. Ephesians 3 and 20 says it, that God is what? He's able to do exceedingly and even abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. Or in other words, if you can think it, God can do it. Hallelujah. And he can do even more than that. He does all things according to his word. And so I thank the Lord for the ability to overcome the obstacle of inadequacy, of always feeling like you don't have what it takes, or that you'll never do this, or I'll never do that, or I just can't see how I'm going to make it. I just can't see how I'm going to get through this. I just can't see. And how many have found yourself saying that over and over? I just can't see. I just can't see. I don't see how I'll ever make it. You know what we need, folks, when we come to those places and we say those things? We need the promise of Ephesians 1:18 to be loosed in us. What is Ephesians 1:18? 1:18 of Ephesians says, may the light of your understanding be enabled, that you might know the hope of your calling and the glory of the riches of the inheritance in the saints. The Bible says that, Ephesians 1:18, may the eyes of your understanding, in other words, may you be enabled of God by the power of the Holy Spirit to see those things that you would never see any other way. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Be enlightened. What do we need to see? What do you think? What do you think we need to see? Answer, light. Because if we turned off all the lights in this building this morning, if we turned off all these lights, we would not be able to see anything because we lack light. Well, guess what? God is calling us today to receive the light. Amen. The light of what? The light of this word. This is the word that enlightens us, that enables us to see. Secondly, second obstacle that often stands between us and our miracle is the obstacle of intimidation. What's the obstacle of intimidation? Well, Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, was probably the best example we can find in the Bible, where the Bible says that King Jehoshaphat, who was a godly king, who desired the things of God and the will of God, it says that when the armies of the opposing forces came against him, it says, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 4, it says, the first thing he did, the first thing that King Jehoshaphat did, the first thing that he gave himself to embrace, it says the first thing he did is he set himself before the Lord and began to pray. You know what? We'd save ourselves a lot of trouble if we would do that when crisis times come. That the first thing we would do would not be to strategize. You see, we're so conditioned to try to figure out things from a natural kind of thinking. That's what got Mary in trouble. That's why she could not initially receive the Christ child, because she couldn't understand. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 says that the natural man cannot receive the things of God because they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so, you know, she had the problem of trying to discern clarification, not in terms of spiritual life, but in terms of academic and intellectual and theological ways. I want you to know, folks, that when it comes to crisis times, you will not be able to intellectualize yourself to victory. No, you have to come to a place of, what do we say? Surrender. Or we say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. Mary probably said that. I don't know how you're going to do this, Lord. I don't have what it takes. It doesn't, be honest with you, Lord, it just flat out doesn't make a lot of sense. And so the obstacle for King Jehoshaphat was the fact that he had come to a place of recognizing that he wasn't going to be able to gain this victory without the Lord. So it says that in the scripture. It says in verse 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says that King Jehoshaphat came before the Lord after seeking God and praying, and he said, Lord, will you not judge this army that comes against us? For larger are they and greater than they, and neither know we what to do. That's what he prayed. He said, Lord, this army that comes against us, they are larger than we, and they are greater than we, and neither know we what to do. How many have been there? Well, you just don't know what to do. Well, we say to ourselves often, oh my God, what am I going to do now? You know what the problem is with that expression? What am I going to do now? It's because it's based on the assumption that anything you could do would make a difference anyways. So we instead of saying to ourselves, well, what am I going to do now? We should be saying, boy, going to be interesting to see how the Lord solves this one. What is he going to do? The question is not, what are you going to do? The question is, what is he going to do? And the Bible says, he, the Lord, our God, he will deliver us. Amen. We need not rest in our own ways. And so the Bible teaches that King Jehoshaphat, he overcame the obstacle of intimidation. And we all know what happened as the time passed by. There was a great working of the Lord. The armies of the enemy, they all died left and right. And this is what blows me away as reading this in the Bible. It says that the impartation of God's blessing was so great that after all the enemy fell dead in their tracks, there were so many jewels and spoils that were collected. In fact, it says it took the children of Israel, it took them over 3 days to collect it all. Oh, hallelujah, amen. It took them 3 days to collect all the spoils. Why? Because when God got done with the opposing forces, where were they? They all laid dead. They all laid dead. The Bible says they were falling dead left and right. And so all the children of Israel had to do was to move among them and just collect their jewels and collect their valuables. So how many know when God does a work, he does it really well? Hallelujah. One more point I want to share today, and we're going to take time to impart God's promise for some of you. Some of you, I believe, are here today by divine appointment. And you've come not just to hear what God has to say, but he's come because there's something he wants to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says it, that faithful is he who has called you, who will also do it. I mean, God's a doing God, amen? And so the Bible teaches about the obstacle also now of common sense. And you may say, well, Roger, how can common sense be an obstacle to a miracle? Well, I'll tell you why. There are lots of things that God did in the Bible for which we cannot explain. Here's one that's interesting. The Bible tells about the time in Luke chapter 5. When the disciples had fished all night, they did everything they knew to do. They were tired and they were exhausted. Luke 5 verse 2 says, they brought their boats into the shore and they began to wash down their nets. Now, normally we wouldn't think that to be so significant. But when it says they began to wash down their nets, it's very clear that they not only didn't feel like going out for another catch, but they came to the place of realizing that there was no way that they'd catch any fish. And so the Bible says that they brought the boat into the shore, began to wash down their nets, which is a clear sign of not just feeling like giving up, but actually giving up. Washing down the nets, I thought, and I read about it there, it's significant. It's because, you see, they not only felt like giving up, but they had, in fact, given up. Some people will tell you, well, as long as you haven't given up, there's still hope. I've never said that or heard that. As long as you haven't given up, there's still hope. Well, I'm here to tell you, even if you have given up, there's still hope. Even if you have given up on your life, on your marriage, even if you've given up on having any kind of spiritual enlightenment, the Lord wants you to know that even if you've given up, there's still hope. Oh, I feel like preaching today. Hallelujah, amen. There's hope in the Lord. God is good. And so, anyway, you know the story. The scripture says that they brought their boat to the shore. They were washing down their nets. They fished all night long. And the fishing they did was hard. Not just casting your line out on a stick and have a bobble there and, the vacation man kind of fishing. No, they had big, heavy nets. Like I said, they pulled these nets out against the sea night after night. They did this all night long until their backs were breaking, until their hearts were broken, and they came to a complete physical, mental, and emotional place of despair. Well, the Bible says that Jesus speaks at such a time. And he says, Peter, let's take the boat out for a catch. Now, if you think about it, folks, the disciples, they've been up all night. They're tired. You know, they've got an accident headache number 999, you know. They're totally overwhelmed. And so when Jesus said to Peter, let's take the boat out for a catch, how did Peter respond? Well, he didn't feel like going out for a catch. In fact, he said to Jesus, Lord, appreciate your desire to go out for a catch and all, that's really awesome. But to be honest with you, Lord, we don't feel like going out now. Have you ever prayed about something so long with such intensity that you finally come to a place when it seems as though God did not hear? You come to a place and you say, you know what, that's it. I'm done. I've done everything I know to do. I'm tired. That's how those disciples felt. They were exhausted emotionally and mentally. They fished all night till the sun began to break the horizon. And what then? But Peter spoke. And Peter is the one that stood in place of the others to respond. And Peter said, Lord, we don't have a logical reason in the world to take this boat out for a catch. But I thank God for the buts of God's word. Amen. He says, but if you say so, I will do it. If you say so. Anybody else in that group of the disciples, anybody else could have stepped up to the plate and say something like this, Peter, wait a minute, maybe we acted too hasty. What do you say, Jesus, what do you say we give it another shot? I believe, based on the mental, emotional, and physical condition of those men at such a time as that, very well could have been grounds for stoning. In other words, Peter, are you out of your mind? No way we're going to catch fish tonight. But listen again to the key. Peter knew something. He knew something about the miraculous. He knew something about overcoming because he said, Lord, we've come to a place of exhaustion, despair. We've come to a place of not only feeling like giving up, but to be honest with you, Lord, we've already given up on fishing for the night. But he said, but if you say so, I will do it. Anybody else could have made the suggestion and it would have been shut down just like that. But Peter says, Lord, if you say so. You know what I have prayed? God, let me have a if you say so spirit. Hallelujah. Let me get up in the morning and say, Lord, I don't know all that I'm going to face today, but if you say so, I will obey. I will walk in your ways. And so I just thank the Lord for that today, that we can have a if you say so spirit. Be encouraged today that God's the God of the miraculous. And there's not only something he wants to say, but there's something he wants to do. And so may God help us to release it. And Jesus was there with the Lord and Peter responded. And when he said that, the scripture says the response of fish was so tremendous. They brought the boat in to the shore, but it took them two boatloads of fishes. They had to go and bring another boat to help them haul in all the prosperous blessing of the fish. So it's true. There's always the miraculous, but it often doesn't make sense. There's another time when the disciples were fishing at night, and in the Gospels it tells, and it says they came out to a place also where they weren't not catching fish. And Jesus at that time said to the disciples in the boat, just cast your nets on the other side. Now, think about this. What difference is it going to make if the fish are on this side or that side? They're swimming all around under the boat. But he says, go ahead, cast your nets down on the other side. And of course, they obeyed and brought in a great load of fishes. Well, sometimes it seems to us like it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make much common sense to have to cast your nets on the other side. But they did it by obedience. And then this one I want to leave with you. In Luke chapter 5, they obeyed the Lord. They cast down their nets. And the scripture says, when they had this done, verse 6 and 7, it says, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, so much so that their nets began to break. Their nets began to break because they couldn't withhold all of the blessing of God. So what does this tell us today? It tells us that obedience always precedes the blessing of God. Did you hear that today? Obedience always precedes the blessing of God. So then, that's why it says in verse 6 there, and the Bible says that they came to a place where they obeyed, and verse 6 says, and when, I love this, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. When? When they had what done? When they obeyed. When they did what Jesus said to do. When they went ahead and took their nets back out and they tried again. When they did this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net began to break. You want the blessing of God in your life? Then obey the voice of God. It's true. Obedience will always result in divine blessing. And so my desire has been this morning that I might obey. We used to sing a hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy but to trust and obey. I wonder today, could we overcome the obstacles that stand before us by simply choosing to trust and obey? We don't know how God's going to work our situation out. We don't know how God's going to explain it all. Like I told you, God doesn't explain everything to us. Romans 11, 33 and 34 says, oh, the depth of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord and who has been his counselor? In other words, who tells God what to do? And so this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to trust and obey and say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to work this out in my life today, but if you say so, I will do it, and I will trust and obey. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, God. Father, I thank you today for being the God that enables us to overcome. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us the strength to overcome the areas of despair and tribulation, the intimidation that comes often when we try to obey and it just seems hopeless. But Lord, we come to a place today like Mary of old, who says, Lord, don't know how you're going to do this. It just doesn't really make sense. But if you say so, I'll do it. I wonder this morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you're watching today on the live task there for you. The Lord's telling you today that this is your time. This is your day. This is a day for you to get right with God. And it happens so easily. All you need to do is come to that place of surrender. Surrendering your need to know how and why God would move and be as he often is. And you're here today and you say you'd like to take this message and let it impart into your life right now. Right, even during this live broadcast, you can make a choice right where you are. and it will count for eternity. The choice that you make today to serve the Lord will count when it comes to standing at the very presence of the Lord in heaven, where you will get to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You did what I told you to do. Here in the chapel, Hope Chapel, you're here today and you want to get things right with God. There's been the obstacle of unbelief that has stood before you time and time again. But today it's your choice to overcome by the name of Jesus. And you're here in the sanctuary, and you too want to join the others that are watching and embrace the Lord today as your Savior. While heads are bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you say, "Yes, that's me, Roger. I've fished all night. I've done everything I know to do. I'm exhausted, but I choose today to come to Jesus." And you say, "Yes, that's me." I see your hand, if that's you, anyone this morning. Amen. God bless you here. God bless you there. Thank you, Lord. We're going to pray a prayer together this morning. I'm going to ask that we could declare this prayer by embracing what Jesus has spoken today. And I want you to join these that pray with us. Let's all just pray it together right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the awesomeness of your holy word that will enable me and empower me to overcome all obstacles in my life. I thank you that you are the God that causes me to abound in victory, overcoming any and all obstacles in my life. I thank you, Lord, that your word has so spoken that the one who the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, somebody praise the Lord today. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And before we come to a place of close today, I just want to obey the Lord in giving a personal word to a few of you. We're going to take time to pray for others as we close. But whether you're seated or standing today, or whether you're in one place or another, but you need a word from the Lord today, as I begin to give words to people, you can just say, "Lord, I receive it. I receive it." Many, many years ago, and in a way that I know it was God's voice, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Roger, I want you to begin to commit to memory the promises of Holy Scripture. Because as you do, I'm going to release you to speak my word with a divine anointing. And when you do," the Lord said, "get ready, strongholds are going to be broken in the name of Jesus." The Lord said, "the cast downs, down ones, they would be lifted up. And those who had felt distanced from afar off from things of the Lord, they would be drawn very close to his side." And so what a marvelous service we had in the first service today. And we want to just allow our time to come to this point where we just begin to impart a few words. And we may go over a little bit on our time, but this is a word from the Lord just for you. Amen. Just for you. Hallelujah. I want to begin with our sister right here with the black. I'll stop. Would you come? Yes. God bless you. Amen. Amen. What is your name?
Jamie.
Let's pray for Jamie. Okay. Father, I thank you for Jamie. And Jamie, I just sense that you have a real exciting, vibrant life in Jesus. And the Lord gives you a special word. It's in Philemon verse 6. And it says, "the communication of your faith is going to become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing you have in Christ Jesus." The communication of your faith will become effectual. That word effectual there in the Greek is the word that means, or shall be divinely energized by the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, sister, you're going to send people to bed thinking about Jesus. Hallelujah. Your testimony is going to be a vibrant one. Amen.
Amen.
And like I said, you're not going to have to go looking for people to witness to. They're going to come looking for you, and they're going to find you out. Hallelujah. And when they do, and they inquire of you about who this man is, you're going to have the privilege of saying, guess what? His name is Jesus. Oh, God. His name is Jesus. So go ahead and joy in the Lord of your salvation. Amen. And God will bring those to you that need the word of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Receive it. Thank
You're welcome. God bless. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the promises of God's word that are yea and nay, and the word of the Lord that endures. I want to pray for you as well this morning. God bless you for coming. What is your name? Megan. Let's pray for Megan today. Father, just thank you for Megan today. I thank you, Lord, first of all, that you care for her. Megan, I'm just hearing the Lord say, 1 Peter 5:7, that you're to cast all your cares on him. Because you see, he cares for you. He cares for you. The Living Bible puts it this way. Just let him have all of your worries and all of your cares. For he's always thinking about you. And he's watching over all that concerns you. And one of the things that he is doing to show his concern is he's surrounding you with a divine rest and peace in him. It says in Isaiah 58 and verse 11, I, the Lord, I will guide you continually. God's guidance for you will not be sporadic, not just a once in a while thing, but the Lord says today that his guidance will be a continual guidance. I will guide you continually, and I'll satisfy your soul and draw it. I guess you're going to be able to, Megan, you're going to be able to hear and know the voice of God. Isaiah 30:21 says, get ready. You're going to begin to hear a word from behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it when you turn to the left or the right. God has your future also in his hand. Jeremiah 29:11 in the Living, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good, not for evil. Plans to give you future and a hope. And I just pray, a divine protection around your mind, around your spirit, around your heart. And that no weapon, get this, Megan, no weapon, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you will begin to prosper. Nothing the enemy would do against you will prevail. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
And I want to just thank our evangelist, Roger Smets. Matter of fact, I know he's probably wanting to pick out a few more individuals. We want to just be accommodating to your schedule as well. If you are here this morning and you want to be in a prayer line for Roger to pray for you, I'm going to dismiss our gathering here this morning, but please feel comfortable to line up right over here and we will pray for you one by one. It's just a wonderful opportunity. Roger, what a great word you brought to us this morning. Can we thank Roger and Gwen? As you know, she is right there, very accomplished pianist. So I'm going to invite you all to stand to your feet at this time. If, in fact, you do desire to be prayed for, please go and get your children first and then come back. That would be helpful, naturally, for our very dedicated team members over there in the children's chapel. But I want to thank you for coming. A couple of things. Don't forget your brown bags of hope. We also have our ushers who are standing at the door. Thank you. Many of you saying, I just admire that man's unique way of ministering the word. We want to bless him on his next way along with his wife, Gwen. So if you have an offering you want to present to Roger Smets Evangelistic Association, just go ahead and you'll see and place that gift, that love offering in the offering bag. We'll make sure that it gets to their ministry. Just make that check as well to Hope Chapel. Great to be able to accumulate that. What an outstanding day. What a great day. You've all been so accommodating. It was great having some wet weather. We were indoors. We had fun. We enjoyed each other's company. But the Lord is here, and He imparted some things to us. And one of the things that I find is so unique about the Word of God, that as Roger speaks, or as there was plenty of verses that came this morning, all throughout the service, that the Word of God can be and should be applied to us and say, I needed to hear that today. So that's something that Roger constantly will say, though I'm speaking to one individual, it could actually have, he'll use the word boomerang effect, could be those individuals that are nearby, and they say, I needed to hear that. You know that you could look up that address, that chapter and verse, and it's still there in the Bible. Your Bible, it's there for you as well. So what a wonderful day. God's been so merciful and kind to all of us. Let's go tell and brag about Him everywhere we go. Let me pray. We're going to get going as well, and thank you for being here, and thank you for watching via live stream as well. Father, we love you. We want to thank you for your goodness and the power of love. Something about being loved, something about being picked out to say God is mindful of us, and you are today. Thank you for doing that. And for those who responded to present their life to you so that obstacles can be removed, and that, Lord, we can see clearly not only you, but our path to glory, their path to heaven. And Lord, we thank you for those things you're now going to continue on as we continue to pursue just our altar prayer ministry. Bless each and every one for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming. Happy birthday to all who are having birthdays. Bye-bye. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.